Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in a section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, really kind of unpacking the idea of practical sanctification, living for Jesus, living like Jesus. That's our model, the Lord Jesus himself, pleasing God, saying no to what displeases God, in this case, fornication, knowing how to possess our body in sanctification and honor, living a life that's pleasing to him because we know him. And he can empower us day by day, realizing that the Lord's going to hold us accountable. The Lord is the avenger. And when we sin against people, we sin against the Lord and against ourselves. It's a serious thing. God has called us to a life of selflessness, a life of holiness. That's the point. And then Phil Rizzo again with us today. So Phil, thanks for joining us.
I have been enjoying myself. I enjoy going through the scriptures with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I kind of messed up a little bit at the end of the podcast yesterday. We were running out of time and I concluded the thought on this will of God section in verse 7, but it actually really this section concludes in verse 8. So let me just throw on this footnote, this PS to our conversation from yesterday. And that is verse 8, where the Bible says, he therefore, so there's the conclusion, right, of the matter, therefore, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So the point is, when we disregard the will of God, in this case, sexual purity, when we say, God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to fulfill my lust. I'm not going to obey your word. The Bible says, yeah, then you're not despising man. You're despising me. That I take that as a direct affront. And you're not only despising me in some far off, unattached way, but you're despising the very Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you every means for your success, and you're still acting in that rebellious way toward me.
And nobody's exempt from this. I mean, I just think of David who committed sin. I mean, he sinned against his nation by not going to the battle. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba and her family, and he tried to get away with it. And as the passage concludes, but this thing displeased the Lord. His sin, yeah, he did sin against other humans. His sin was against humanity, but ultimately his sin was against the Lord. It displeased God that he did not conduct himself the right way.
That's a great example of exactly what this verse means, in that he was, in essence, despising all the others, but the primary despising was that of against the Lord. And he said that. He himself said that in chapter 51 of the book of Psalms, or Psalm 51, I should say, when he confessed and said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness in thy sight. So David even gave a loud amen to the Apostle Paul here on this teaching. Great insight. Verse 9 introduces a different little subsection here of the book of 1 Thessalonians, which at surface glance seems to be just kind of a passing comment by the Apostle Paul, but wow, is it rich. And I want you listeners just to contemplate with me a little bit today about what the Apostle Paul is saying about loving other people. So as we go through today's teaching, I want you to think about the people that God has strategically placed in your life, your family, your coworkers, your fellow church members, maybe you're on a ball team, whatever God has done in your life to strategically place you among people, we have a responsibility to reflect the love of Christ. So how does the Bible teach that in this particular passage? Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, and the word brotherly love here translates the Greek word Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Okay, Phil, I've been to Philadelphia. That might be its name, but I don't feel the love in Philadelphia. Just saying.
I saw on your daughter's social media how you guys were driving in the car and were getting some communication from other drivers, and I commented on it. Sounds like you're in New Jersey, she said. No, we're in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and we'll just leave that up to your imagination,
exactly,
there, listener.
Right.
So, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. So Paul said, you know, I don't really even need to expound upon this topic. Why? Why would Paul say, I don't need to teach this? If I went to a math class and said to people, I don't have to teach you 2 + 2. I don't have to teach you basic math. Why would I say that? I would say that because you already know this. I don't have to go back through things that you already know. Teaching is a matter of helping people to understand what they don't know. So Paul said, I don't have to cover brotherly love. And then he tells us why. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And the word for love at the end of verse 9 is the word for agape love. So in other words, I don't have to teach you about Philadelphia love, love for the brethren, because you have been taught of God agape love. It's not to say that Philadelphia love is not important. It is. It's a love that finds value in its object. So the Bible says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That's the word Philadelphia. In other words, we are to love God, or love Christ rather, for who he is. He has value, intrinsic value. We should love him. But the agape love of God is a love that says, I love you not because of who you are, but I love you because of who I am. So it's a love that finds its value in the giver of love. For God so loved the world. That wasn't God loving the world because the world looked warm and fuzzy, like, you know, a pile of kittens or something. But that was God loving the world because he chose to love the world. That's a wonderful distinction. So think about it, Phil. What Paul said is, I don't have to teach you about this kind of love when God is teaching you about this kind of love. So you have a better teacher. I could teach you. No, but you have God teaching you. And you have a better subject. I could teach you about this subject, but God's teaching you about this. So we would say today, you know, I don't have to teach you general math when Albert Einstein has already taught you calculus.
Right, right. And it's amazing that, you know, we know Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Everything begins with God. God, we love God because he first loved us. And really this passage, and not to go back, but really our whole sanctification process is, you know, God working through us. And here as it transitions, we love because God loves us, and we can't give out what we haven't first received. You know, people struggle with forgiveness, and many times it's because they haven't received forgiveness in their life. And if they're Christians, they've received it from God, but maybe they haven't forgiven themselves for something that they had done, and the lack of forgiveness that they've received, how could they dispense it? Forgiveness is a spiritual thing. We can't offer out what we haven't first been given, and we can't love right until we've first been loved. And so it just shows that everything originates with the Lord, and it passes through us. And when we allow it to move through us and then dispense what we've been given, well, now we look like Christ.
We've been taught of God to love one another. So in what sense are we taught of God? Well, that's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When a person receives Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside. And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking. He uses the Word of God. He brings the Word to our mind, to our remembrance. And our job as believers is to say yes, Lord, yes, to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God, not to quench him, not to grieve him, but to say yes to him. So learn to be attuned to the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And God's Holy Spirit is going to help you to love and serve other people. That's the purpose of Christianity, to love God by serving people. That's why those commands go together. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. That's the first and greatest commandment. We love God effectively when we love our neighbor practically. So you've been taught of God to do this. So Paul says to the Thessalonians, you know, I'm not there. I'm not in the lecture hall. I'm not sitting across the discipleship desk from you, but you have the Holy Spirit of God in you teaching you to love people, and they're known for that. Because watch what it says in verse 10, where the Bible says, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia," that was the region where Thessalonica was located, "but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." So indeed, ye do it. So if I say it, it's a pronoun, what is the antecedent? For what word does the word it stand?
Loving the brethren.
Love. So what does that tell us, listeners? That tells us that love is not primarily something we feel. Although I love to feel love. I love to feel warm and fuzzy. But feeling love is not tantamount to expressing it or even necessarily having it, because love is not a feeling primarily. Love is an action. And in the Bible, love always acted. For God so loved the world that he gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down, he gave his life. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. Paul said in Galatians 2, he loved me and he gave himself for me. So love always expresses itself in action. So Paul said, okay, you know how to love people. God's teaching you. I don't have to teach you this. I don't have to tell you, but I'm asking you that you would do it. In other words, express that love more and more. You're doing it already in all Macedonia. But that doesn't mean that you can't increase. Isn't it something that love is something in which we can always increase? You can never love enough. You can never love too many people. You know, you never reach your love quota.
And it shows us that we belong to God. How shall the world know that you're my disciples? Your love one for another.
That's so good. The words are meaningless without the active love that provides the microphone, provides the amplification. And so, my friends, I hope that that'll be a help to you. I hope that as we talk about love and what it means practically in our own little circles of influence, that we will be acting upon the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Now, next episode, I want to talk about three enemies of practical love in your life, because I think the Bible helps us to see them. So we'll talk about three enemies of the expression of practical love in our lives, but you're going to have to wait until next episode. Thanks for joining us today, my friends. It means a lot to me that you listen in. God bless you, my friends, today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.